Welcome to Angelic Encounters. Reverend Debbie communicates with the angels to answer your questions about you and your loved ones. And sometimes there's even a message from the other side. And now your host of Angelic Encounters, Reverend Debbie.
Good day, everybody. This is Reverend Debbie here with Angelic Encounters. And it's 1st of December here in the beautiful UP of Michigan. And we had snow last night, so it looks like a beautiful winter wonderland. I love it right now. I'm originally from Southern California, so cooking a turkey in 80-degree weather really bites. Let me tell you, no fun. So when I see the snow like this for the holidays, Thomas Kincaid on my butt. I love the way it looks. It's awesome. By mid-January, I am whining like no one's business. I hate this snow. It's cold. So anyway, enough about me. Let's talk some more about me. I'm here, of course, with my delightful soul brother, TJ.
Hello. How you doing?
I'm doing good, baby. How are you?
Great. I know it's been a while since we've put a show on the site, and Reverend Debbie has a very busy schedule, so whenever we can get her in the studio is whenever we'll put a show up. And you know what? Time doesn't exist anyway, does it?
No, it doesn't. It does for us. We have to have something here on this earth to help us, time's the measurement that we've created for ourselves.
So what have you been doing with yourself all summer?
Oh, my stars. Tons and tons and tons of weddings. So I officiate weddings and travel throughout the UP in northern Wisconsin doing weddings. So I was doing many, many weddings all summer long. In addition to that, I was also doing several readings both at my home office and then bookings down in Green Bay. And a few up here in the UP too. And I've got clients from Canada and all around the United States, so I'm always busy doing readings out of my home office.
Now, when you say you do a reading,
angel,
how does that work?
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, angel readings and psychic readings, which really, it's all the same thing, really, but how does it work? My process, that would be good to talk about how my process goes. I think that would be very, very interesting for people. When I'm going to be doing a reading for a client, first of all, what I do cleanse and purify my area. So I smudge and make sure to do lots of prayers. I surround myself. I surround anything that I'm going to be using for that reading. So my crystals, if I'm doing angel cards, anything like that, I surround that with God's divine light of love and protection. Make sure that I'm grounded to Gaia, Mother Earth, and that everything is divinely protected. Then we're good to go. So what I do at that point then is I do go into a meditation, and I ask the angels and the guides, all the ascended masters, to come in and to be with me and to help me hear loudly, convey the messages accurately, always for the highest good. And then I do invite my clients, higher source, their guides, their angels to come in. This is before my client ever arrives. I had a client, I think it was the last one I had, as a matter of fact, and it was adorable. Before she came in, she had a little fairy that came in. And the little fairy was like jumping up and down. She's here, she's here, she's here, she's here. So it just made me giggle because she was adorable. I've had clients that have had absolutely ginormous angels, an angel come in before them to discuss what we need to discuss with the client. They usually will give me something that's dealing with this client that I need to know. Sometimes they're all, just go with it. Most times, though, there's something. They give me something. So when my client will walk in, I'll ask them, as we sit down and I tell them the process and blah, blah, blah. And then I will ask, are you having an issue with, or is there da, 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 or so-and-so is here and wants to talk to you. They've been waiting for you. I've had that, too, where a loved one who's crossed over has been sitting there waiting for the person. I've had them come to me 2 days before waiting for this person. I've had to ask them to just step back and wait. It's just awesome. Mm-hmm. It is so awesome. So that's what I do. Then my client arrives, and then I do let them know, pardon me, the process, and that what is said between us goes no further, and we go from there.
How long does the reading normally take?
Whatever people want. I can do readings for an hour. I've done readings for 4 hours.
Really?
Yes. Wow. When there's, I had, interestingly enough, I deal with this. Okay. One of the things that's very interesting is all of us that walk this enlightened path and walk this journey, especially as a light worker, a light worker is anyone who deals with the different healing modalities within a paranormal, for lack of a better word, realm. Although it's not paranormal to do Reiki and to do really any kind of a massage or counseling, that's not paranormal. I say paranormal because certain issues will come to you that people would, for lack of a better term, say paranormal, like thoughts that are popping in your head or different little things. I hope I'm describing that properly. But I get a lot of suicide victims that come to me, and that's, I don't know. I didn't know why initially. I know why now. Because I did ask the angels about it. I said, why? Why are you having all these suicide victims come to me? People that I don't know. Now, I'm saying when I say suicide victim, I am talking about the person who crossed themselves over by their own hand, whether it was intentionally or there's a couple of cases that I don't think they really meant to. And there can be impulsivity involved. There can be also just, who, you know, part of their sacred contract, I guess, that it was an issue that they were not able to deal with the way they were supposed to. It does break a sacred contract by crossing yourself over at your own hand, because life is a tremendous gift. It's also a tremendous challenge. And so we're here to learn and to teach, which I tell people all the time. So if you take yourself out at your own hand before your time is up that you were supposed to go, you are destined. You do have to come back. And you do have to finally take care of that lesson.
So nothing, you don't go burn in a warm place.
No, you do not. No, you do not.
So if you remove yourself, take your life, you're saying that you have to come back again in another
you
time.
Do. Yes, what happens is those that, now this is the suicide victims that I have talked to. Yeah, I guess that's the way to put it, that I have talked to, have shared with me that when they were over there, some of them, okay, when they get over there, they are surrounded with angels, the guides. They are given tremendous amount of loving and comfort and healing. And it's like they're in a special location where they really take care of them and really minister to this person. Because you think about it, if you're going to take yourself out, you're not doing it for, you know, for shits and giggles. You're doing it because out of tremendous pain. So there's a horrific amount of pain. And that makes me so sad to hear that and to know that. But anyway, so they're ministered unto. One of the things that's really hard for them once they've crossed themselves over, they are shown in bits and pieces as they can take it what the results of that reaction has been on those that loved them and cared about them. And that is that's the biggie. That is so horrifically grieving to them to see how that's people that they love has reacted to this.
Is that similar to like a life review that all of us will face?
Yes, very, very similar to that. Yes, very similar to that. And they experience.
They feel it too.
Yes, they do. So they're not just sitting there observing.
And from what I've heard of people that have had near death and talked about this, it happens in an instant, all at once.
Yes. Oh yeah, have you ever had an epiphany?
Mm-hmm.
It's I don't know what it was like for you. For me, one that I had was like, I was given, well, I mean, I get things all the time, but the first epiphany that I really ever had, I was like 16 years old. I was in San Diego. There was some meeting thing in San Diego I was at. And boom, it was like I sat down with God and asked him 20,000 million questions, and he gave me, or she gave me, I'll say and, all the answers to those 20 million thousand questions in the blink of an eye.
My epiphanies haven't been that complicated. It's like an answer or two, boom, that pops in, and it's like, oh, I get it.
Yeah. It's, you know, I get that all the time, but that's just me communicating with them. But yeah, it was really, really bizarre. So anyway, I mean, bizarre was awesome. It was cool. As far as with suicide victims crossing themselves over, like I say, they are destined. And thank you. Yes, that life review is a very, very accurate way to describe
all of us that have done things. And most of us probably have done some things we're not proud of.
Oh, my God, we all do. That's part of the human experience.
We're going to see that. And not only are we going to see how we looked in that moment, but we're going to see how others felt. And we're going to feel how they felt.
Right.
This is the great... See, the people say, well, there's no justice in the world.
Oh.
When you go and feel this...
Remember God's law. And man's law are two entirely different things. Mm. And yeah, when we do cross over, we are given, we are shown. And yes, we do experience it 1,000,000% completely. What our actions have caused to others, good and bad too. And again, you know, there's things that we'd be astonished at on the reactions we've had with people that we have no idea about.
Now, if you do something unintentionally, mm-hmm. if I were to say something that offended you, which mm-hmm. I find hard to do.
Yeah, right.
Because you're pretty easygoing about things. But if I were to do something unintentionally, that's something I'm guessing wouldn't come back as a repercussion to me. I might see that when I crossed, that, oh, I hurt you in some way, but I didn't intend to. Maybe you took it the wrong way.
That's, you know what? That's, I'm wrapping my head around that concept. If it's unintentionally that you said something that was like, well, then, you know, you were a jerk. What you said was really crappy. Mm-hmm. That happens all the time. Unless it was something that affected me my life.
With intent, I think, right?
Thank you. Correct. Intention.
I look at people around me, and this has happened to me before, I get upset about something, but I don't know the intent behind it. And maybe it was something innocent. And we all, this is what we all seem to run into. We create so much drama in our lives because, they were mean to me. Maybe they weren't.
And you know what? Maybe your life lesson at that time is to learn how to let it roll off your back.
Be compassionate.
Turn the other cheek. Be compassionate. Be understanding. That's the thing I always tell people. You don't know. Maybe their dog was just hit by a car. Maybe they just got horrible news about something that impacted their life. And so, they're going to be an asshole. You know, and you just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Getting back to these people that have crossed over, these suicide people, because I think this is pretty important, because you and I talked about this.
Yes, yes.
Do they have a message that they want to... I mean, I'm sure they have a message for family, but is there an overall message that they want to... I'm guessing they have something they want to say. Why would they be coming to you?
You know, that's... I am glad you asked that, because I did not ask the victims... I haven't asked each one, why are you coming to me? But I did ask the angels a couple of weeks ago, well, maybe about a month ago, when they finally told me, okay, this is why I'm getting so many people. And I asked the angels, okay, why? Why? Why are they coming to me? Why are you having them come to me? And the answer is they want people to know that, no, they're not burning in hell. And this is for lack of a better terminology. They are in a safe place. They are okay. They're so sorry. That is the really, really hardest part for them after they've crossed themselves over is the hurt that they've put on everybody else, a hurt that can never be undone until those loved ones cross over and see them themselves.
And all things at that point can be undone, you're saying?
Yes, they can. Forgiveness, forgiveness, forgiveness.
Right. So. You know, I've heard also, though, when you step back from a different perspective, because I was at an event where this woman was channeling different people and energies, and this fellow had taken his life. And the family, there's two family members there, and everybody had a chance to ask somebody that was maybe a loved one that was gone. But they had asked if they could contact this uncle. And the uncle apparently was there, and they were very angry with him. And they said, "Why did you do that? That was horrible. How could you do that to us?" And he said, and the channel had said, "I only talk to them at the highest level."
Yes.
So the level, even in that they may be at during reincarnation, mm-hmm. that's another level too.
Yes, it is.
I'm communicating with them at their highest level. And so the response, which some people might think is callous, I saw it completely different. He said, "What did we accomplish? Did we all stop fighting? Did we all pull together? Did we all learn to love? Even though there was pain, mm-hmm. you gained a lot out of this." And, of course, the two people from that family couldn't accept that. They were very upset. But mm-hmm. I could see that.
For the higher good.
Sometimes everything is always done that way. Mm-hmm. So what we think mm-hmm. is a tragedy, mm-hmm. like a suicide or whatever it may be, somebody that we care about is murdered, it's all part of a bigger plan.
Yes.
And it's always bringing us in what direction? What direction is it bringing us?
Higher on our spiritual journey.
So we find...
Because our souls long... to be closer to God, Goddess. Our souls just yearn to do that. It's all about love. It's all about love.
That's what I see over and over again, is that everything that happens, as horrible it is on this planet, and there's many things that are.
Oh, my God, yes.
When we step away, or when we're out of a physical body, and we can remove ourselves from the emotional end of it, we realize mm-hmm. that this was a great lesson.
Yeah. And it's very hard to do that because I myself am the victim of abuse and child molestation. And it's hard being, you know, I could take on that victim persona. Yes, I could sit around and be pissed off at everybody all the time because of all the wrongs that were done to me. I was horrifically physically abused throughout my childhood. I was sexually molested in my childhood. I was, my first marriage, it was horribly abusive, mostly emotional and physical, and there was... emotional and verbal, rather, and there was physical visited upon my children that I found out about later. Mm. That's when I got pretty wild about things. But I could take on that victim persona, but that's not me. That's not my divine purpose. That is not my journey, why I'm here. Why I'm here is because I am a light worker. I am here to help people. I'm here to bring them comfort and healing and peace.
Right. On a personal level, and I don't want to go down a road that I'm guessing you'll go down just about any road that I ask.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's great about you. But have you ever figured out, maybe from a different perspective, why you went through that?
That's a really good question, because that is something that I have asked myself many times. And for myself, why? The sexual molestation was, I believe, it was kind of one of those things, the buck stops here, as it were. I could have... And with a physical abuse, too, in my childhood, I could have gone ahead and in life been sexually abusive to others. I could have, I mean, this is beyond my realm of comprehension within myself, but I'm saying perhaps I could have been physically abusive. All these things that were visited upon me, I could have paid it forward, as it were, but it had to stop somewhere, and it stopped with me, and it stopped when I said, this is wrong, this hurt me, and I had to forgive those who did that to me, because where did they get it from? It was done to them. And in that compassion, with a compassionate, loving heart, I forgave them. And because it was done to them, that's where it would have come from. You know, they don't just pull this out of their ass. And so I stop it, you know, but by me forgiving them, and then it goes no further. So my children have no knowledge
of what it would be like. You and I talked about, well, I mean, while they're here, perhaps.
Right. Correct.
We've all had that experience, and we've also done that to others in other times, right? We've done and been all things, probably.
Well, or it depends on your life journey. I don't know.
I mean, not this time around, but I mean, we've experienced most things there are to experience, to learn from them.
Well.
And sometimes we've been the good guy, and sometimes we've been the bad guy.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So I heard this theory a long time ago, and I want to run this by you. When something happens to you, what happened to you, very emotional, very strong.
Oh, yeah.
It's recorded in your cells.
Yes.
There's a cell memory.
Yes.
And it's not the genes so much that are passed on. It's the cell memory that you pass on to the next generation. Mm-hmm. And so when you said, this has happened for generations, and also I've heard this, and I don't know if you have, that when we come back, a lot of times it's within the same family. We come back time and time again with people we're familiar with, families.
Right.
So those genes are passing on, those cell memory. So how many times maybe has this gone on? Maybe you've experienced it before. And this finally was a chance for you to stop it.
Very, very observant. That's true. Because, yes, people in our lives, how many times, you know, I know this happens to everybody, where you can be somewhere and all of a sudden you look at somebody, you've never seen this person in your life, wherever you are, but all of a sudden you see them and there's some kind of it goes boom, and both of you look at each other and it's like, I know you. Mm-hmm. And they're like, I know you. And you both look at each other like, but how the heck would I know you? Yeah. But it's there. And I love, that's happened to me in Jamaica, that happened to me once. That happened to me here in Escanaba with a person. And those are the two real notable times that I can tell you that were just, and I did not know these people. I've never spoken to them before, never spoken to them since. Don't even know their names, but there's something about, bam, that I was like, oh my gosh, I know this person. So who knows, perhaps in previous lifetimes, who knows how many times before, maybe we were brother and brother, maybe we were, you know, I don't know, star-crossed lovers. Who knows? It's crazy. And then the cell memory, as you're talking about. I probably did experience these things in a lifetime before. I do agree with that. I've never really sat down and done real deep, heavy-duty past-life recall.
And I'm just throwing this idea out there. I mean, it could be anything. We don't know. And maybe someday this is an avenue if you want to pursue. But and if you're at peace with it, there's no reason to. But because I don't think we should always dwell on everything, you know.
Right.
People say, we need to go back in our past lives.
And
it's like, maybe if you're really hanging on to something. But otherwise, if you don't feel that, why?
Right.
But maybe you can realize in a previous time that somebody had done this to you, or...
And maybe this is to somebody else, yes. And it's karmic law.
This was a payback. Could you see that?
Absolutely, I can see that. Mm. Absolutely, I can see that. I hope that wasn't I hope I didn't do that to somebody, but in all likelihood, I probably did. And that's karmic law.
And you look at it also, and you think this is a horrible thing, but also, what did it teach you?
That's right.
You learned many great things out of this. Are you much more compassionate?
Oh, my God, yes. Oh, my God, yes. I think, talking of compassion, I think the greatest, greatest gift we can teach our children is compassion. If everybody had compassion, you know, put yourself in their shoes. How would you feel? That, and I know I've taught my children compassion because I was so proud of my oldest son was the one, and this was back in California still, and I was driving down the road, and I had all three of my children in the vehicle, and there was a gentleman walking on the side of the road, and he appeared to be a homeless man, and he just looked like he had the weight of the world on his shoulders, and just one of these guys. Well, you see a lot, you know, you see a lot of people in California that aren't they don't appear to be the most savory people. Mm-hmm. Let's put it that right. way. So this is one of these individuals. And my oldest son, as I drove by this man, kept driving, then my son kind of looked back at him. He said, "Guy, Mom, I really feel sorry for that man. He doesn't look like he has anybody who really loves him or anything." And I was just, and my oldest was like, I think he was like, oh my goodness, 5 years old at the time. A five-year-old being that observant and that compassionate. He's a very old soul, my oldest
one. Don't you feel, though, that children have that naturally?
Absolutely they do. Because they're fresh over here.
They're born with more compassion, more love in their heart. So he really was probably more natural at that point.
And then for us to, yes,
and
for
we kinda
parents
get soured
to really bring that out.
We kind of get soured sometimes as we evolve in life. To where some of that can disappear as we may get soured.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he did, but a lot of
right.
us, you know, with me, it's a battle. I have compassion, but there's times, sometimes I also realize that person is there because they choose to be there. And that's a cop out. But
that's true. And that's a hard thing to tell people. That's, you know, Teej, that's a very good point because that's a hard thing to. Why did that person, but see again, this person wrote that into a sacred contract. Mm-hmm. God gave us all free will. So we've all made our sacred contracts to come over here. Now, what is our sacred contract? Okay, well, we've written in there that we want to learn. Maybe we want to learn compassion. We want to learn giving. We want to learn forgiveness. Maybe we need to learn to speak up for ourselves, too, and not be a doormat, because there's nothing wrong with it. You do need to stand up for yourself. You do need to speak your truth. So maybe we need to learn that. There's so many lessons we're learning every single day. And so did he write in his sacred contract, "I'm going to be a homeless, you know, no good for all," or whatever? Perhaps he did. Perhaps in his sacred contract.
Because that would make others see him.
Yeah,
and maybe they have
others.
Well, not only that, but have an opportunity to not judge him. The rest of us could learn from that. I mean, there's many ways you could look at it.
So many ways, exactly. And maybe just with his one, there he is, one guy, and 20 people that surround him, each person is going to have a different lesson.
Viewpoint, yep. Different
yes,
point.
Exactly, exactly. So it's... it's always done out of love and for the greater good. Mm. Always done out of love for the greater good. So people that, you know, especially people that have suffer with depression really bad. And I know of a couple of people that have that issue. And I've talked with them and I've said to them, you know, wow, thank you for the sacrifice that you're making in this lifetime. And they've looked at me like, you know, what? But I said, to take on that kind of a burden, that depression, because you're doing that, your greater love for everybody else, you're willing to take on that darkness to, you know, to weigh you down so that others can learn and observe, and whatever lessons they need to learn, they are. And you're doing this out of love. So thank you for that sacrifice. And they're just like, you're right. And it's really wonderful because when you see, all of a sudden you see that light of realization in their eyes, it's wow.
Do you think, and we're just about out of time for this show, but we'll have part two.
Yes.
Do you think that you talked about a sacred contract, but do we also have, because we can't just do this by ourselves. I mean, it has to be orchestrated with everybody around us.
Oh, yeah.
So do we have contracts with everybody else around us as well? Before, if we come into this life, do we have some kind of agreement with everybody around us? And some of it I know happens because it's drawn to us.
Yeah. That's, I've heard it said that, I think it's Sylvia Brown who has said, well, you know, you write everybody into your contracts. Mm. And very honestly, I have to say that I agree with what she states there. We write everybody into our contracts. I agree with that. Now, whether we choose to, each one of us chooses to communicate with the other the way we're supposed to, or we've chosen that we were going to do. I don't know. Let's say you and I wrote each other into our contracts because we were supposed to learn. Let's say if you were a jerk the first time I met you and whatever, and let's say, and you said, "Oh, you're a jerk. Just get out of here. I can't stand to look at you." Well, then, you know, it would have been like, well, I would have said a few things. So, never mind. You know what they would have been probably too. But, you know, you would have had your choice. And I'd have my choice whether to do that or not. And I don't even know where I'm going with that. We may have to edit that out. So,
no, I understand. I understand what you're trying to say as far as we are bringing, we have agreed to
come into each other's lives, yeah, but then what we do with it from that point is our...
Can we learn from this? We both want to learn from this and grow from it and experience it.
Right.
And sometimes even not doing anything may be learning. So
that's a choice too.
It's got a lot of answers, and I think when it always comes in love, because people get confused, I think, listening, going, well, what do we... I come in contact... If you always walk in love...
Yeah.
And I mean, it's not easy every day because you get...
No, it's not.
Things affect you. I mean, I always have a good feeling towards everybody I meet.
Yeah.
Unless they sour that. And then it's like, okay, it takes a while. I get past it and I still, I get that feeling back. But, you know, if you're worried about and you're listening to this, what advice as we close out of this would you give those people?
As you're saying, as we worry about
our daily interactions with others that we maybe have contracts, we don't realize it. How can we proceed? What is the best way?
You'll notice in just about all of my closings and everything, well, I always say, I offer everybody namaste. And namaste means the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. So if we could look at everybody as the divine being that each one of us is, I don't care what you look like or what you are, but if you can just kind of picture everybody as a little walking glow of light, then, you know, just be kind to everybody. Always, you know, the best one is do unto others as you'd have done unto you. That is the most powerful statement right there. Harm ye none.